8816, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning, and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by...
That would be ESPN Bet, now live in Illinois. Sign up today. New users get $100 of bonus bets with any sportsbook bet. We say good morning to Shea W. Verse.
Bet. Good morning. I don't hate that, actually.
Shea Verse.
Yeah, that's not so bad.
I like that. There you go.
Listen, if you're Cap Williams, then go ahead.
That's it. Or Caleb Kaplan, as I've been referred to by many. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. My guy's coming.
Excuse me?
My guy's coming to Chicago. Guy hadn't hit it in 4 months, and he's got all these cute little one-liners.
Just you put it on a tee sometimes. I
mean. Ah, thank you, Jay Moore. Appreciate that. not that Jay Moore made that. I'm just saying it. Never mind. By the way, you got a missive on X on Twitter right here.
I did.
Yes, from our friend
reading scouting reports
from WLW's own Lance McAllister from Cincinnati, who says, "Hey, the Catman. DraftKings have the Reds at 81.5 as far as wins. The Cubs at 84.5. I'll take 3 wins and our bet is on. Hashtag take that." From Lance McAllister.
Yeah, I had to pay last year because I had to spot his pathetic organization too many games. And even though we finished ahead of them, I had to pay off with a package from Malnati's.
Reds 81.5.
But why
Cubs 84.5.
He says, I want to know why DK is the be-all, end-all. I'm not a DK guy.
Okay.
I can be bought, but I'm not a DK guy at this moment.
So you have to respond to him at some point because the bet is on, he says. So there you have it. Shot or no shot. Here's Shea Norling. Shea?
There's no way he said I can be bought by a sports book.
100%.
You got David Otani over here, too. All right, Ryan Poles talked about how the NIL.
Imagine if I was coaching and I'm trying to get bets in. Oh, God.
Oh, absolutely.
You would be, too. You would be. I thought this was interesting yesterday. Ryan Poles talked about how the NIL has impacted scouting players. Some have made fortunes in their college careers, including Caleb Williams, before even entering the league. Poles took the angle I haven't heard yet, that it's actually a good thing. Said it challenges players by forcing them to handle a spotlight, needing to prioritize money, business, football, and school all at once before even entering the NFL. It gives teams a clearer picture of who these players actually are as people and if they can handle the stress that's about to be thrust onto them. Shot or no shot, the NIL is actually good for scouting players.
Maybe when it comes to a guy like Caleb at the top of the food chain, I don't think the NIL has anything to do with me evaluating a third-round offensive line prospect. No. No shot.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot to that only because, when it comes to evaluation, that has not changed over the years. Nothing has changed about whether or not the guy's fast, is he healthy, what he did for his college team, what his coaches say about him on the college level. That has not changed, Cap. That's not changed. So I would just say that that's still, even in the era of NIL, I still think that those old school factors still matter in evaluating a player. NIL? I don't think so.
Agreed.
Now, that might evolve moving forward, but I don't think it is right now.
I think Caleb, because he's going to be thrust into such a scrutinized situation, yeah, he's proven that he can be that guy, brand ambassador for multiple products like Dr. Pepper, nationally, all these other. Sure. Okay. He's had to deal with being a brand.
Mm-hmm.
But some guy I take out of Idaho State, in the fifth round, trying to make my team, and he got $40,000, and NIL doesn't do anything for it. Nothing.
Shavers.
Thank you. I was listening to Mina Kimes. She does her mock draft on her podcast. She did it with Greg McElroy. And McElroy said something I thought was interesting about why the decision for him with the Bears at number one overall is easy. Listen to this.
Right now, with where we're at and rookie contracts and stuff, like, I want the boomer bust prospect. Like, I want to find the next Mahomes. So if I'm drafting top of the draft, I'm not that interested in trying to find a guy that's like, all right, he's going to be steady. He's going to be Kirk Cousins. Like, I don't want to find that guy. I want to find the Mahomes. And if he's not Mahomes, fine. We'll fast forward a couple years and we'll do it all over again. I'm going Caleb Williams. I think he's got the highest ceiling in the draft.
God, that's just so lazy. It's just so lazy. I mean, everyone said, well, I want the next Mahomes. Mahomes wasn't Mahomes when he was drafted. Actually, that's not what you wanted initially until he was with Andy Reid. Will Andy Reid get any credit for any of this, cultivating this quarterback to what he is today? I mean, again, Patrick Mahomes was a guy that was doing loop-de-loops for Texas Tech going backwards in an offense they drew up in the dirt. What that was.
They were 5-7, isn't that what you told me? His last year, 5-7.
Now, ultimately, once you get there, when you're able to mold and shape the quarterback to what he is, and then his own God-given natural ability, because he's a second-generation ball player, okay. But just the laziest thing, well, I want my Mahomes. Well, who doesn't? Now, but not at the time that he was drafted. You hope that you can be able to build into something like that, or even better. How about the first Williams, and call it that? Where Correct. He's a shining star, where he's the pinnacle of the quarterback position.
That'd be amazing.
How about that?
That'd be amazing.
Go ahead, Shay.
All right. Well, I was going to ask a different kind of question because McElroy in that clip says you're going, like, Hoodie, I get your point, but when Mahomes was drafted, teams were looking for the next Tom Brady. It's just the way people talk about this, which we don't have to like. I agree. It is lazy, but it is what it is. He did say you're looking for that boom type of player, could be the best quarterback in football. If you don't get it and he busts out, you just do it all again in 3 years. I agree with him on that.
Sure.
But Bears fans have certainly been through enough at the quarterback position to not be willing to accept that kind of failure. And we heard, I believe it was Damian Woody say, if the Bears get this one wrong, they're doomed.
Yeah.
Shot or no shot, this is kind of now or never for the Bears to find their franchise quarterback.
Look, they can take another swing in whatever number of years, but it's never going to be set up better where you've got the youngest team in the NFL, you've got the ninth pick on top of the first pick, on top of a bunch of really good players already here. I mean, this is as strong as it's going to get, kid.
Yeah, well, it's a no shot because the doors are still open in Lake Forest. If Caleb Williams does not work out as a quarterback for this team, they're not going to fold the franchise.
Correct.
They'll go back in. They can go bottom out again, look for the hot name at the quarterback position, or try to piecemeal it together with some veteran. I mean, the action and the NFL never stops.
It'll just
continue. So I understand what Damian Woody was saying, because he's pretty much saying, man, if this doesn't work out, man, what will? I understand that perspective.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
And it's not like the feeling of, you know, hot take of the day. I understand his point because he's seen the Bears go up and down with the quarterbacks and up and down as an organization, saying, man, this is ready made. If it doesn't work, it just feels doomed. I get that point. But again, the doors are still open. You're still going to be a franchise. You're still going to be running a football operation with or without Caleb Williams.
You're right. The Bears are a business. It's still going to be there. But it's not going to have a smoother runway than what we got right now. Oh, man. You feel like you're boarding the jet to go on an amazing vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Now it better deliver and not rain.
Yeah, I actually think I might have framed this poorly, because, Cap, you hit on it right away. Was just, it's never going to be built this way again. Like, if you miss on Caleb, yeah, you're going to get more swings and you're going to get more chances to find a franchise quarterback, but it might end up being you find your Matthew Stafford on the Lions, or you find your Justin Herbert on the Chargers, or you find your Phillip Rivers on the Chargers, or whatever it is, where you have a franchise quarterback, but the team just is never really there with it. Right now, it feels like the single best opportunity of any team, certainly in my lifetime, to couple the franchise quarterback with the ready-built team.
Shay.
Last night, Jordan Montgomery finally signed an MLB contract, a 1-year deal to join the Arizona Diamondbacks for $25 million. with an option for a second year with variable money based on the number of starts. No secret that there are weaknesses for the Cubs in their starting pitching and in their pitching staff as a whole this season. So shot or no shot, the Cubs should have been more in on Jordan Montgomery for this price.
That's a shot.
Yeah, I mean, we're treating Jordan Montgomery and Matt Chapman like frickin' Pie Trainer of the 1907 Pirates and Walter Johnson.
Okay, you could do better than that. Come on. Let's say, Jay Moore, strike that off the podcast. just edit that out. Now, you're going to get an opportunity to update that. We do have younger listeners, for God's sakes. Those people you talked about, that generation's dead. It's the silent generation.
They were good players.
So do it again. Okay, you're going to update the end. Hold on a second. Let me give you a countdown because we're going to edit that out of the podcast. Pie freaking Trainer. Are you kidding me? What are you doing there?
And three, two, one.
We're treating Matt Chapman like he's freaking Nolan Arenado and Max Scherzer was the guy available. Stop. He's okay. He's fine. Yeah. Should they have spent it? Ricketts can't take the money to the grave with him. Just give him the debit card and go get whatever you want. But let's stop with the Jordan Montgomery. Oh, my God. Holy cow.
Who's putting him on a pedestal? He got 1 year for $25 million.
Go on social media. I can't believe we didn't get Jordan Montgomery.
I don't give a rat's ass what those people are saying.
Dude, I walked in here this morning and you immediately said, he would have made you the favorite in the division. Really? You sure about that? We already are the favorite, A.
That's not what I said. Well, and most sports books have St. Louis.
Exactly what you said.
I wasn't talking about the Cubs. I was talking about a different team. I don't want to get into it. But for the Cubs, I think if it's, you look at your win total right now at 83.5, Jordan Montgomery last year was a 4-win player. You pump up 4 wins and you look at 87 in this division, that could be enough.
But guess what? Those are numbers. That doesn't guarantee you anything.
That's fine.
You could be the Reds.
I'm making a point to you that it makes me feel better entering the season if I can go, okay, I can bump my win expectation by 4 wins. And if we get to the end of the season and we're sitting on 83 and St. Louis wins it with 86, you bet your ass we're going to be pissed about this.
Yeah, bump up like 4 or 5 wins, like the Tigers, right, Shay?
So, bingo, thank you.
That's an example, right? There's an example. Detroit.
There's a team that spent $0 in free agency, essentially. They have an 80.5 win total, and if they would have gone out and gotten Matt Chapman or Jordan Montgomery, it goes to 88, and they're a favorite in a division.
Again, Shay, those are freaking fictitious numbers.
Who cares? It's what we have right now. They're not playing games. The job of an owner and a GM in an offseason is to do the best thing to make the team better. I don't think the Cubs did enough, and I don't think many other teams in this league did enough.
All I'm telling you is...
I don't care if it's fictitious numbers. They're real-life players.
Correct, and maybe your GM's a little smarter than you. Mr. Duquesne's going to cover against Illinois. Maybe your GM ended up looking at Matt Chapman and goes, nah, because I went back through his numbers the last 3 months. He sucked offensively. So maybe I don't want to sign that guy. Oh, but maybe the Cubs shouldn't, because their number one prospect happens to be a third baseman, Matt Shaw, who's coming to the big leagues probably sooner rather than later. So guess what, Matt Chapman? Enjoy San Francisco. Oh, Jordan Montgomery. Yeah, he's okay. Not great. He's okay. Oh, our number one pitching prospect happens to be number two overall in all of minor league baseball. He's expected to be here. His name's Cade Horton. Guess what? We'll pass.
It's good for Jed. You better be right. Like I said to you this morning, I wasn't talking about the Cubs. I didn't think the Cubs needed to go and get Matt Chapman. That was not a move that I would have made. But 1 year, $25 million for Jordan Montgomery, just to bring in a sure veteran arm into your rotation, yeah, I'd do it. And on the terms of my team, you want to talk about the decision not to spend money on one-year deals for Chapman or for Montgomery? How about sitting $60 million under league average payroll? I don't care. You don't have a farm system good enough to act like that. Don't talk to me about Scott Harris being smarter because I lost a Duquesne bet. Okay. Who cares?
All right. I certainly do not. But I will ask this question if I may. May I ask this question?
Yes.
So, taking all the emotion out of it, when it comes to Jordan Montgomery, wouldn't you say that that's a better fifth starter than what you have on the roster? Would that be an upgrade if he was on the roster? based on what you know about Montgomery on a one-year flyer? Is that an upgrade for what you already have?
Maybe. Maybe. But they believe that their number one prospect is going to be a top-of-the-rotation guy, and he's that close to the big leagues.
No, I'm just saying, like, if that was a choice, you wouldn't mind that as a to throw in there to the rotation, especially a guy with his back against the wall with a one-year deal. Probably be better, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. Around the NFL is right around the corner on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Welcome back!
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts the comment and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's a Waddle Wednesday here on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's hoping that you're going to have a great Wednesday. We'll hear from Tommy coming up at 8:35. But first, around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, a lot of changes to the National Football League and certain things. Rules for sure, but a couple other changes. I want to get into a few and around the NFL today. The owners' meetings have seen a lot happen, starting with the change to the kickoff rule. And Sean McVay talked about they're going to learn a lot in the midst of this rule change strategically. As he quote, as we start to figure it out schematically, how does that affect and influence the outcome of games? What does that do in terms of those 10 to 12 plays that will now be more prevalent depending on the approach? Obviously, getting rid of the surprise onside kick, they're going to have to figure out a different way to kind of defend kickoffs, if it's going to be more difficult to stop returns, if there will be more of them, what that does to the game. And college football is apparently looking at adopting this rule.
Hmm.
This may just be the future of kickoffs at all levels of football.
You know, we watch football games 3+ hours, and what is it, Cap? Have you ever heard the actual total of actual action happening on the field? Is it 18 minutes? 20 minutes in a three-hour ball game, something like that?
That's correct.
Something along those lines. As long as you're getting more action in the game, I have no problem with it. We had Albert Breer on here yesterday, and Albert's somewhat of a football traditionalist. Like, he understands, but he likes it the way it has been, where the strategy in the game, wait a minute, are they going onside kick? Instead of having to announce, hey, we're going to do a strategy here. Now, you still got to stop it on the other end, but it just feels different. But I totally get it. If there's more action in the game, I'm all for it.
I love action in the game, and if there's ways to protect the players at least a little bit more, it's still going to be a violent game with a lot of injuries. That's just a fact. I got no issues with what they have tried to accomplish. None.
Just something. What about the special teams? I mean, there was a time where that special team, that ball gets kicked off. You got some yardage and got some, you know, that's the fireworks.
And now we may have that. You saw the Steelers sign Cordero Patterson yesterday. As soon as that thing got approved, all right, we'll take him. 2-year deal.
I mean, you finally get into your seats or at home really to watch an NFL game, and then there's that kickoff, that 12 o'clock, right? That ball is in the air. And, man, you just want, I want to see, like I used to see, a nice return to get things kicked off, to get things started. Hopefully we'll have that again. Just to, I mean, it could be 10 yards. Just get me going instead of being in the back of the end zone all the time. I mean, you can put on the red zone, and he'll have eight games on, and they all go into the end zone with kickoffs.
ESPN said yesterday, if this rule change doesn't work, that they'll do away with the kickoff will be the next thing.
Yeah, because this is a one-year rule change, and that I imagine if it continued to just be touchbacks and teams opt out of even trying to give up a return, they'll just get rid of it. Start on the 25-yard line, that'll be that.
Yeah. All right, what else do we have?
A couple changes to the schedule. I will start with the trade deadline. The NFL, at the behest of, I believe, the Pittsburgh Steelers, has moved the trade deadline into November. It will be November 5th this year after Week 9. I don't think this is far enough, to be honest with you. I would like it maybe around week 11, week 12. I get that the NFL wants to avoid teams outright tanking because they have a clear picture. They're out of it. They're going to sell off pieces. I think it makes the trade deadline much more interesting when teams have a clearer picture of who and what they are and what they need to do. think about like hockey, the NBA, Major League Baseball. The trade deadline comes about 60% of the way through the season. Why in the NFL are we doing it pretty much dead on at the halfway mark?
Because it's
like
way,
it a little bit later.
Way, way harder to assimilate a guy at certain positions into what you do. Offensively, running back, all right. Quarterback, you can't just walk in week 11 and learn the offense. You just can't. That's some, just a fact.
Some have tried, Josh Dobbs.
Right. How'd that work out?
I'm just, some has tried. And I want you to think about this, to what Shea said. In Major League Baseball, we always look forward to the trade deadline. And lately, that has been August 29th, August 30th. So now there's this mad dash through the last month of the season to say, hey, we got new players for September, you know, along with the call-ups. You got the new players, and you acquired someone via the trade because a team is out of it. That sprint is as interesting as the playoffs for me in September. September baseball, in a pennant push, you got new players on there. Hey, what did that do for the Cubs getting Aramis Ramirez during the season?
Right.
To play third base, like in the middle of the season.
Correct.
So why not, how about around Thanksgiving for the trade deadline? What about December 1st?
That's too late. For me, that's too late.
What about Thanksgiving?
I'm cool with where they put it, to be honest with you.
November 5th is the date that you gave us, right,
and
Shea?
What was it last year, Shay?
It was before week 9. I think it was after week 8, so which was also a move back because I think previously it was after week 7, which was way too early.
I mean, who knows? Shay, there could be a team that just needs something right away for that, again, that December push to get into the playoffs in January. I'd love to have that December 1.
Right.
Or Thanksgiving. Somewhere around in that area, that weekend.
I think it's too late.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, but my argument would be it's not like we see genuine starting quarterbacks get flipped at the deadline ever. So I don't worry about that too much because teams know they can't bring them in. Like, offensive linemen aren't going to get flipped a ton. But could an edge rusher get moved? Last year, and the Vikings weren't, but just as an example, if the Vikings had been out of it week 12, but in it week 9, they're not moving Danielle Hunter week 9, but if they're then out of it week 12, they would. And that's where I think it becomes more interesting for the contending teams. And how can you make approaches and arms races to get better?
That wide receiver that comes out of nowhere where you know the team's not going anywhere, and then put them on the team in December, look out, changes the fortunes. That one move or several moves of a wide receiver or defensive end where the team's out of it and you put them on your team, that could turn into a playoff team. All of a sudden, you got to push. Like, you might be on the precipice of being in the playoffs, and then it's like, well, if we only had a couple of other players, oh, look out. Now in December, we made that push. Now we're in the playoffs in January. That's what I want. I want almost that somewhat of an NBA factor or Major League Baseball factor in that. I'd love to see that for the NFL.
Yeah, I don't want it as late as you guys do because I just don't think you'd see as much action as you think you would, A, because teams don't want to give up draft capital, and B, most guys, it's tough to pick up an NFL system at certain positions. It is.
All right, Shay, what else do we have?
Buddy, I have a feeling you're not going to like this schedule change. I am vehemently opposed to it. Traditionally, the NFL only plays games on Christmas Day if it falls on a Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. Sure. They do not play on Christmas Day when it's in the middle of the week. No more. Breaking news yesterday, this year the NFL plans to play a doubleheader on Christmas Day, which is a Wednesday. Is nothing
you
sacred.
Know what? You know what?
I will say Goodell at least came out and said, thankfully, Wednesday games will not become a regularity. There are no plans to start playing regular season games on Wednesdays, only when Christmas falls on a Wednesday.
You know what?
Why do we need Christmas Day that badly?
That is my NBA day. Why does the NFL have to step on it? Why? So this tells me, it solidifies, I already knew this, but I think it's pretty official now, Cap. Silver and Goodell have no relationship. None. You think Stern would have allowed this in his day, David Stern, the late commissioner?
I don't think it's totally Goodell's call.
He wouldn't have allowed it. He wouldn't have allowed it. Stern would have,
that's my day.
That's what would have happened. You go on your day, I'll be on my day. The NFL didn't care. They could be at any day in the week. The NBA is my day on Christmas. Many people will start watching the NBA on Christmas Day. It's on all day. And the NFL sticks their beak in it. Why?
I love it. Love it. Christmas Day? We go to a movie early.
Yeah, why would you care about that when you're just eating Chinese food and going to movies? You're not going to watch it. What's the point?
We actually have a ham and a roast, but I get your point.
Kosher?
No. My wife's Greek. We have a great meal.
I'm not having any of it.
We're going to go to the 11 a.m. movie with my father-in-law and then settle in for a football doubleheader. Game on.
They won't, unless the game is on in the Chinese restaurant, you're not going to be watching it.
We don't go to a restaurant on Christmas Day.
That's not
Mindy Kaplan style.
So,
I got no problem with this. Love it.
Here's my other fear. Is they're going to, I can't imagine they're going to extend bye weeks to the week of Christmas, which means the teams playing on Christmas will have played the week prior. I imagine they will get the Saturday games the week prior.
Yes.
Thursday football's bad enough. The quality that late in the year on a short week, holiday week like that, I don't think it's good for the quality of the game that we're going to end up getting on a Wednesday afternoon and night.
Yeah, but Jackaloons like this guy does not care about the health of the athlete. He just wants to gamble. Couldn't care less.
It has nothing to do with that.
But you tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. You don't care about that. You care about what's the angle, kid? How much money can I? You don't care that these guys will play on Sunday and maybe you have to play on Wednesday. They're already doing it Sunday, Thursday.
First of all, they're not going to play Sunday to Wednesday, I don't think.
Well, how do you know?
I don't.
Well, I'm telling you, you don't care about that.
It has nothing to do with care or not care.
It does.
I could scream into the microphone from now until next Christmas. The league doesn't care, so guess what? I got no say in the matter. So I'm going to settle in with a cocktail, a good meal, courtesy of my wife, and be right on my couch watching NFL football.
Oh, so Alice is going to make the meal for you, right? Is it going to be a TV dinner? Gonna slide it right there to you.
Nope.
Make you comfortable.
Nope.
Rub your feet. Is that what you're saying?
Christmas Day.
Courtesy of my wife. You're cooking.
Christmas Day is a day that she treasures.
And what about you?
I'm alone for the ride. I do whatever I'm asked. So, whatever. We have family over. She's gonna cook a great meal. That she loves doing it.
Yes.
And then have a little pie and watch football. Game on!
Okay. Well, let's talk about dessert instead. All right. How about that, Tommy Waddle?
A little cherry pie.
How about that? Football on Wednesdays. How about
Christmas
that, Tom?
Christmas pie. Hey, Jonathan, I heard you guys talking about that. They've already said the four teams that will be playing on Christmas Wednesday will also be scheduled to play the previous Saturday.
That's not true.
How is ESPN okay with that? They're going to put NFL games alongside the expanded college football playoff and then on NBA Christmas. ESPN's a league partner. How is ESPN not going, come on, guys, you're stealing our games here?
Stern wouldn't have allowed it. There's just no way. There's no relationship there. The NFL says they extend the middle finger to the NBA and anything else. We will be on when we want to be on. We don't care.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's right. They're king, man.
Yeah.
They're king.
They are king.
Yeah. Listen, I heard what you said. If I'm Adam Silver, I'm immediately calling Roger Goodell. Probably getting a dial tone.
Yeah.
But I'm calling him.
Yeah, right. Nothing there.
Right. Go kick rocks, Adam. You know what? We're the big guy on campus.
Roger,
right now.
Adam's on the phone.
Yeah, I'm busy.
We're sorry.
I
want to go back to the Christmas pie. That's how you celebrate with a little Christmas pie, huh?
Yes.
Well, traditionally, yes. Because I'm drunk.
I don't know.
Tommy Waddle coming up next with Waddle Wednesday. Here we go.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Tom Waddle, former wide receiver for the Chicago Bears.
The guy's amazing.
1989 All-Madden team and afternoon co-host on ESPN Chicago.
I think he's going to start at least 8 games in the National Football League next year for a team that's going to give him a chance.
It's Waddle Wednesday with Tom Waddle.
Listen, I got a pedicure in an hour. When I get back here, the wheels better be spinning, all right?
On Cap'n G Hood, ESPN Chicago.
It's a Waddle Wednesday on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And Tommy's on the hotline.
That'd be the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline, Johnny.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Chicago Bears.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Good morning to you, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Tommy, go ahead.
You know what? First of all, I think I've said this before. I was on the 91 All-Madden team. Not the 89 on that team. I was still scrapping and trying to find a way to join the practice squad back in 89. So I just wanted to say that.
Tommy, thanks for your time.
Have a good night.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Do you know who else, Jonathan? Do you know who else the other receivers on that team were, on that All-Madden team in 91?
Now, who's that, Tommy?
Golden Richards?
That's not funny, Cap. Like, I'm not that old.
Golden Showers, then.
Rest in peace.
Excuse me.
Rest in peace, Golden Richards. He just passed.
Art Monk.
Yeah.
Michael Irvin, Jerry Rice. Like, I was in elite company there, Jonathan. I just want you to know that. Don't know if you knew that or not. Freddie Barnett was on that group. Remember Freddie from the Eagles?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to let you know. You know,
Hoodie,
part of the squad.
Can you tell me what NFL receiver that you know has a higher career yards per catch average than Keenan Allen?
Tom Waddle.
Amen, Jonathan. Jonathan's not playing because it didn't take him long to get that answer. Cap was stumbling. Duh, I don't know. Back when I asked him.
Well, Tommy.
Actually, not true, but.
I'd like to ask you about a place that you played, and that is Soldier Field. We have not heard on this show your thoughts about your connection to Soldier Field, playing as a Chicago Bear, and the possibility of the Bears playing somewhere else. You've been in this city long enough to know how the politics work and how it does not work. I feel like Kevin Warren continues to play politics, and we got renderings, and we got a shovel ready to go in the ground in Chicago. What do you say about a new home for the Bears, one way or the other?
First of all, I always considered it just a blessing to be able to play in such an iconic place. Now, you know, you just were looking to be on a team at that point, but when you know when you're coming out from underneath the goalpost and you're announced as a starting wide receiver for the Chicago Bears and it's Soldier Field, like, there's a little extra something special about that. I think that you understand the importance of the organization. It's the charter franchise, the history, and all of that, and that does play into it. And I was always cognizant and aware of all of that. But there were times, guys, when that field was just dog track. I mean, like, I remember going out there for the playoff game against the Dallas Cowboys in 1991. I believe we played on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I think we went down to practice. You know, I don't know what Coach Ditka was thinking. Like, we're going to go down there and just, you know, get into a game routine for the playoffs. I was like, Coach, I mean, this isn't new. We do this for all of our home games. But, okay, you know, whatever you want to do. So we went down to Soldier Field to practice. And I remember walking out onto the field, and we were out there. It was brown. It was dirt. Like, there was very little grass. It wasn't the fault of, you know, our maintenance guys or in our, you know, our group. It was just, that's what it was. You guys remember it probably every bit as I do. Mm-hmm. We came out there for warm-ups on Saturday when we played the Cowboys. It was Kelly Green. Like, they painted the field. Like,
it
wasn't grass. They didn't resod it. They just painted it. So, I mean, like, it. And I will say this, though, now, as much as that place is a difficult environment to get in and out, I think the access is not great, and I don't go very often, so I'm not an expert on it. I will say this. They've done a marvelous job with the turf, or with the grass, with the field itself. It is spectacular. It's kept up, and it looks great, and it functions well, even in difficult weather. So I give them a lot of credit for that. With that said, though, Jonathan, and this is where, you know, I love you, but I respectfully disagree. I don't believe Kevin Warren is playing politics. I truly believe that in his heart, Kevin Warren, there's only one choice for this stadium, and it's downtown Chicago. I don't think he's trying to play, and I know, Cap, you feel differently as well about this, but
I believe you're accurate. I think in the end they'll end up in Arlington Heights because A, I think the dumbest thing to do is build one in the city, and B, the Friends of the Parks are going to have you tied up in litigation, and C, the renderings I've seen or the plans that I've looked at, mm-hmm. They have to reroute Lakeshore Drive underneath everything.
I don't know
that's
how
that's $1 billion.
Yeah, it's not even that, but it's the timing of it. Like, look, I went to school in Boston when the Big Dig occurred. That thing was supposed to take like 5 years. It took 20 years. It was $8 billion over budget. Jeez. Now it's a different project, but like, there's no chance you're going to be able to I'm no engineer. You guys know that. I can barely put words together. But there's no way they're going to be able to reroute traffic on Lakeshore Drive and other places in a short period of time. I'm with you. I personally, if it was my choice and I had season tickets, and I once did and I don't any longer, and if I went regularly, I would want it to be in Arlington Heights, and you just build paradise. You build.
Agreed.
You can put a casino there. You can put restaurants. You can put a hotel. You can build a Bears Hall of Fame, you know, place that people can go 12 months a year. It'll be the spectacular venue that will have big events, and it'll have concerts and all of that stuff. That would be my choice. I don't believe in any way, shape, or form that is even an option with Kevin Warren. I think he wants to build this downtown, and I think that he would tell you that, yes, the accessibility may not be what it would be in Arlington Heights, but that's part of the that's just part of the you know, the situation. You're going to have this grand stadium on the lakefront in one of the greatest cities in the entire world.
Yeah, but
I'm with you, Jonathan. Like, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
I'm just saying, like, if you're worried about B-roll, I mean, you could still be in Arlington Heights and still show the lakefront when you come out of break, when you come back from break.
Right, because it's still Chicago Bears.
Yes. You can still show Sears Tower and then get back to Arlington Heights where you belong.
But I think if you follow the breadcrumbs, like, there has been this, you know, there's a playbook for this. He went to Minnesota when he was part of the Vikings, and they had purchased a place, and they were planning on building out somewhere outside of Minneapolis, and then they reversed gears, and they went back, and they built that. And from what I understand, I've never been in it. It's a spectacular place. Not only did they do it in spectacular fashion, it came in under budget, and they came in under time. So, like, he's got a track record for being able to do this. I'm with you guys. I never lived in Minnesota. My guess is life between the city of Minneapolis and the state officials in Minnesota, they probably get along a little bit better than the city and the state do in Illinois and in Chicago. And I just think that the hurdles are going to be just immense. And the longer, remember, guys, the longer this plays out, the more expensive it gets. Because, you know, if you put a shovel in the ground today, it's one price. If you put a shovel in the ground a year from now, guess what? It's going to be more expensive, and if you're talking the huge numbers that they're talking, the expense is enormous. It may be relative on a percentage basis, but, you know, if it was a $4 billion project and it was started next month, it may be a $6 billion project if it was started a year and a half from now, if you know what I'm saying. So I don't know how they're going to do it, guys. I just think that there is a true intent to make it a Chicago stadium, and boy, I mean, he'll be a magician if he gets it done from my, you know, inexperienced perspective.
We'll get some baseball thoughts as Tommy's Reds, my Cubs, Hoodie's White Sox all tee it up tomorrow to start the season. That's next.
Tune in.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Tom Waddle with us on a Waddle Wednesday here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. You got to read for Tommy what Lance McAllister from WLW in Cincinnati
I was just looking at Twitter, and I saw the exchange between Cap and Lance.
Yeah, this goof.
Whoa. You stop the name calling.
I love Lance. He's a dear friend. Whoa. He's a goof. Hey, at the Cap Man, at DK Sportsbook, has the Reds 81.5, Cubs 84.5. I'll take 3 wins, and our bet is on. We bet I either get food treats from Cincinnati. They're not many, so I get Grater's ice cream.
Which, by the way, you can get here in Chicago because it's so delicious and so fantastic.
Correct. It instead of that found a home swill here. Known as Skyline Chili.
That's Dang. Just up to, that's you that know, it's an acquired taste.
I wouldn't feed that to my worst enemy. And then.
You wouldn't?
I wrote back to him and said, multiple sites have the Cubs at 83.5 and the Reds at 81.5. 2 games is the wager, my friend. He said, let's split the difference and call it 2.5. And I said I was born at night, just not last night. No.
So how would you handle that, Tommy?
You know, look, I don't blame Lance for trying to get a little extra, you know, padding. But I think if the consensus is 2, I think you stick with 2.
Take that, Lance.
You bargain for it, but maybe you jack up the odds. Maybe it's like -110.
So he gets a couple extra pizzas from Malnati's, or I get a couple extra quarts of or pints of ice cream.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, you could do that.
I will tell you that Grater's Black Cherry Chip, yeah, their like signature flavor. Oh God!
Well, hey, I don't mean to hijack this show. I'm not but surprised. Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
What do you guys think happened with Ohtani?
Well, now, see, a bunch of reporters yesterday asked his representatives, which agency did you report this massive theft to? We're not going to comment. And they have reached out to a bunch of their police sources. Not one of them has confirmed that they've accused, gone through filing charges.
Well, since you asked, Tommy, my thought on it is that Ohtani's no different than the rest of us.
Yeah.
He comes from a different country and says, you can gamble here, and it's on your phone, and there's an app? Holy smokes. What a country. All of a sudden, he's doing stand-up with a Russian accent.
Right.
But nonetheless, I think that he's like anybody else, Tommy. It's like you give someone an inch, they will take a mile. Even though there's signs everywhere not to gamble, you can't gamble on sports. I believe that Ohtani was aware. Now, I'm just want to know what the fallout is from it.
So, Jonathan, you think he was the one actually gambling?
I believe that he was aware of it. Yes.
You know what's funny is like, I mean, like, I get it. He's the biggest thing that's happened to Major League Baseball in a lifetime, and he's almost like a gift from above, from the baseball gods, mm-hmm. for a sport that is contracting with regard to popularity and viewership and all kinds of stuff like that. And the last thing this sport would ever want is to have that, to take a hit for any reason. But, they've got to be transparent about this. And this is what I said too earlier about it is like, look, if you're that vehement that this guy was stealing from you and stealing $4.5 million, I would think you would try to have him prosecuted to the full extent of the criminal capacity, mm-hmm. right? So, and if you do that, I think that they're going to have to dig deep. I don't think this story's anywhere close to being over.
No, but the question is, does the commissioner have teeth? And the answer is no to that. But, I mean, in this situation, does he have teeth? Will he be treated like Rose was treated if it is found that Ohtani bet on baseball?
He has to be. Pete Rose was the all-time hits leader. And by the way, like back then, baseball was more popular than football, or maybe not when Pete was, at the tail end. But for anybody who thinks that, if you did that with Pete back then, you've got to treat Ohtani with the same measure of severity, don't you?
Well,
yes.
Well, there's dollars, there's cents, though, is it not? I mean, this is the biggest international star in baseball. Some would say the face of the sport. So how do you handle that if he's not there, Tommy? I mean, that is a factor, I would imagine, in the front office.
No, offices. I get you, Jonathan, but, like, wow, what a scam that would be, potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about that would be, if, in fact, they try to sweep this on the rung, and this is just all speculation, I get it. If that was the case and they try to sweep this under the rug and then because, like, we get some pretty good reporting out there, Like, this would be the goal of several people to really get to the fine facts of all of this. And it's proven that they tried to do something, like sweep it under the rug. Be the biggest story in decades.
Tommy, did you hear Pete Rose speak very eloquently yesterday?
Yeah, I did.
You said eloquently, right?
Well, back in the 70s and 80s, I wish I'd have had an interpreter. I'd be scot-free.
Now, I will say, look, if he was just gambling, if he was just gambling on other sports, like there was a pitcher with the Marlins, all they did was fine him. I don't care about that. Like, it's wrong, you're fined, but you can't. As someone who was an enormous Cincinnati Reds fan, you can't have a different scenario unfold just because of the cash cow that this guy is. If in fact something nefarious was going on.
Do they turn a blind eye to it, and all of a sudden now Ohtani plays basketball for a year, and he comes back? is that a possibility, Tommy?
Well said, John.
Does Ohtani come back with number 45 on his back?
So good. Yes. So good.
I'm just saying, man.
That's so good.
I mean, because again, we can't be surprised in 2024, Tommy, with this commissioner saying, oh, my God, if he's out of the sport. And by the way, the sport's not going to die without Ohtani. But, again, the international appeal there with Ohtani. Going to a Sox game when he's with the Angels, so many kids with Ohtani jerseys.
Yeah.
So many. And I was like, and I said, I know it's not 300 kids that came off a plane from Los Angeles to be here. No, they're in Chicago area kids. They're there to see Ohtani.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm still like, if for whatever reason, if something bad happened and they had to remove him from the game, I'm still going to watch.
Sure.
I'm still going to watch the Cubs. I'm still going to watch the White Sox. I'm still going to watch the Reds. Wow. It's still going to be an appealing product to me to a certain degree.
All right. All right.
We got to roll. Have a great day, Tommy.
Don't cut him off. Right. He was on a roll for God's sake.
No,
we
got
to go.
I got somewhere to go.
Have a great day.
Do you know where you're going beside hitting that
going
wall?
Going to the bathroom, Jonathan. Oh. I've been holding it for 15 minutes.
Waddle has a bathroom the size you could land a plane
That's
in.
Not true.
Have
That's
a
not true.
Quit great lying. Day. We love you.
Bye.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
All right.
Don't worry, call the car X-Men.
Baseball. It's just one day away. Have the Cubs done enough to contend? We find out in 2 minutes. Here we come on Cap'n J-Hood.
Oh, boy.